Psalm number 46. Let's all read the word of the Lord. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And we trust that the Lord will add His blessing to this public reading of His inspired Word. Let us bow our hearts and our heads in humble prayer, seeking the Lord's blessing, the preaching of His Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do find comfort in the truth of Thy Word. We find comfort that it reveals Thee, that it speaks of who Thou art, that Thou art a God of mercy and grace, that Thou art a God of eternity, infinite and unchangeable. Lord, we seek to know more of Thee in this hour. More of Thy strength, of Thy refuge, more of Thy might, of Thy power, more of Thy mercy and Thy grace given through Thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to know more of Thee this day. God, I know it is no light thing to stand before the people and preach God's Word. But I pray that today those who sit in this assembly will know that it is no light thing to sit and listen to the preaching of God's Word. Lord, be with preacher and hearer alike. Lord, may the inexperience of the preacher and his ability to preach be overshadowed with the experience of this preacher, as he has known the love of God and the grace that has brought him from death unto life. Lord, manifest Thyself this day, we pray, for the sake of Thine own Son. Amen. The story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram reveals Old Testament wrath as few places in the Scriptures do. Men and followers who had enjoyed the blessing and fellowship of the people of God, suddenly rebelling against the Word of God as it was revealed through the divine appointment of Moses. They were given one day to reconsider their ways, but the warnings went on deaf ears. And the next day, they flaunted once again their own earthly reasoning against the leaders of God's people. So God dealt with them in a way He had not dealt with men before. He had sent fire from heaven to deal with men's sin in the past. He had opened the ocean and destroyed the rebellious unbelievers of Egypt. Now He ripped open the earth and swallowed 250 of the most prominent men in the camp of Israel. This story found in Numbers chapter 16 is quite phenomenal for its swift judgment and awesome display of supernatural power. But even this pales when the heart is led to consider that this is the fate of all who have rebelled against God, and all have rebelled. Yet we have in this 46th Psalm, written for the remaining sons of Korah, those who were spared that awful death in the very bosom of the earth. Yet we have this song to be sung by them, the song of mercy and grace, a song of refuge and strength to be found in the mighty God of heaven. Yet we have this 46th Psalm written for the sons of Korah who had been spared. They justly deserved the same fate. They did not receive it. So we have this psalm given to them to sing. And it's a psalm that can be sung by all whom God has revealed Himself to be merciful and gracious, full of compassion, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, who will by no means clear the guilty, but is keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sins. This is the God we look to today as we seek to know who God is. And today, my friends, if you have known the power of God and the mercy of God in salvation, if you have been born again and you sit in this assembly as one of God's people, one of His blood-bought people, you have every reason to join with the sons of Korah and sing the mercy of God, rejoicing in His salvation and His strength. For even in the face of the most fierce afflictions and difficulties, even when we believe all is against us, the people of God, no matter what their circumstances are, can know confidence and boldness because of who God is. This is the subject that I would like to set before you this day. Now, God is set forth in this psalm in three different ways to my eyes for this service. It is set forth, first of all, in the very opening portion of this scripture, in these first three verses, as a mighty fortress. Those who trust in God find Him to be greater than earthly powers. Now, there may be those who scoff at God's Word and may trust in the advancement of science as their source of health and well-being. They may rest in the armies of their country for their security on this planet. They may recognize economic prosperity to be the source of their well-being. But the believer knows that God alone is his sole refuge and strength. God alone is omnipotent. God alone has power over the devices of men. And while we may set up our castles, seemingly impregnable, seemingly inaccessible on our mountains, it is God who rules. You can go, you can walk this earth over. You can cross the wide bounds of this planet. You can come across the castles and the palaces that have been erected by men, seemingly indestructible. And now they stand in ruin. Now they are crumbling. But God's Word remains. God remains. For this Word reveals His person. And it speaks to us of who He is. And it tells us that we can find refuge and strength in Him. Now, everyone must learn this for him or herself. And it's not an easy thing to grasp. I say that with all being as careful as I can be. We have to grow. We have to look. We have to go through the difficulties that we face in this life. But we have the Word of God. And so we should turn our eyes to that which God has given and believe it and trust in it. Yes, God is invisible, but the help He gives is very evident. A very present help in trouble. The children of Israel at the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, we read of the great story where God's help was made evident. Exodus chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 13. The children of Israel were at a strait place. They could not go forward, for the Red Sea was there. They could not go backward, for the armies of Egypt were there. And yet the Lord Jesus opened the Red Sea and caused them to cross on dry land. And in verse 13 we read, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." The children of Israel had just been brought out of Egypt. They were in a learning stage in their development as a nation, as a country. And here they were at a crossroads, facing difficulty, seeming destruction. And yet they found the arm of God to be that which could deliver them from a host of an enemy. The chariots of Egypt, considered to be the most powerful and dreadful force that could be on the earth. And yet when they came, and the sound of their chariots was dimmed, and the sound of the rushing waters that overwhelmed them, and overflooded them and their efforts and their desires against the children of Israel. We must learn. We must go through the difficulties. In order to do that, we must have God set before us. And so it is no light thing to consider the grace of God that He brings forth His Word from this pulpit on a regular basis and preaches and makes His name, His Word known through preaching on a regular basis. By undergoing troubles, we learn of God's perfections. By facing life's difficulties, by facing our own flesh, and by facing all of the afflictions of life, we discover the ability of God. The result of knowing the power of God is the removal of fear. Those who are finding out the greatness of who God is will never be dismayed. That is the thought that he is expressing in verse 2. "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Even when the earth is removed, that which, as Spurgeon says, is the basis of all visible things, when that thing is shaken and dissolved and is changed into nothingness, even then, the heart of the believer, the heart of the one who is standing upon the truth of who God is, will not be shaken, will not be removed, will find a place of refuge and strength. This is the power of God. Even when the mountains shall be carried away, we see in these two things, the earth and the mountains, those things which are firmly established. Is there anything more stable than a mountain on this earth? Is there anything that would cause awe and wonder in the hearts of the people if a mountain were suddenly uprooted and cast into the sea? The psalmist is expressing through these words that whatever difficulties life may throw at us, and I don't want to be trite here, because I know the people of God face difficulties. I know there are afflictions which I don't even understand. Sicknesses. Difficulties of financial matters. Consternation over studies. Things which I can't even begin to expound. The people of God understand. And I would say to you that God is a refuge and strength that cannot be shaken in the face of any woe. My friends, when the body fails, when the strength of youth begins to wane, when sickness and health begin to carry us toward that divine appointment with God, let us rest firm and sure in the knowledge of who God is, that He will not be removed even though the earth be dissolved and melted away. This is the strength of the faith that the believer has been given. Whatever comes to try this faith, the believer should never give in to despair. I speak primarily to God's people today. Don't give in to despair. Find comfort and solace in the great God of creation, who holds all things together by the word of His power, of His ability. This was the admonition of Elihu to Job in Job chapter 37. In verse 14, let's turn there. Job 37, and read the expression of this young man of God. Job 37, verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Unless you think there is no exposition of that great text, look over to chapter 38 and you will hear from the very God of heaven the words that He has given to Job himself. Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Faith will not be shaken. Even when afflictions and distresses like the waves of the sea reach their boiling point and seek to overwhelm, the refuge of who God is in His eternal grace and sovereignty is everlasting and does not change. As we have considered the great fortress who is our God, we now humble ourselves and look into the love that secures us. For God in this passage is also revealed as a river. And I see from the reading of this portion and from the instruction of the commentators that this is a gracious river, a river that begins with grace, and a river that, in earthly terms, seeks to make known who God is. We can face the tests of life only because of the grace of God. We do not have a mighty fortress in God because He is weak in grace. We have a mighty fortress in God because He is mighty in grace and love. And because His grace and His love, which He has sought to make known to this earth, is a grace and love that cannot be shaken. It cannot be changed. It is set forward by two things by which it is impossible for God to lie. We read in the book of Hebrews, He will not lie to us. This river of grace is that which flows from eternity, that which flows from infinity, that which flows from immutability. And we can forever have security in them. There was one commentator who pointed out that this river is God. God the Father, the river of life. God the Son, the river of salvation. And God the Holy Spirit, who indwells His people and out of their bellies shall flow rivers of life. And I look at this portion of Scripture and I see that this river brings life. It is the source of our joy. This river of grace which fortifies the church of God. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we read a text of Scripture that I turn to over and over. A text of Scripture that is the overflowing of a man's love for God because God first loved him. Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then it seems as if his heart would overflow as he speaks to the people the wondrous grace of God. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This river brings life, the source of our joy, and it starts in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to believers today, and I trust that you often turn your eyes to Christ. And I trust that today in the reading of this portion of Scripture and in the revelation of this psalm, that you will understand the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your eyes will be turned to the One who comes from God and is the outflowing of His love, the One who came to earth, died for the sins of His people, was buried in the earth, rose again out of the earth, ascended up into heaven, and now makes intercession for His people, a divine, holy Son of God, who was from the beginning and is to the ending. There is no beginning and no ending with Him. He makes intercession for His people, and He presents them faultless before His throne, before the throne of God. The refuge and the strength of the people of God. Secondly, it sustains life. This we see the continuance of our joy. In 2 Peter chapter 1, which I mistakenly began to memorize at the beginning of this year, thinking that that was the portion that we were instructed to, and it was 1 Peter. The Lord has blessed in the study and understanding of that portion of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. We read these words concerning the ongoing work, the continuing of the joy of God's people. Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We must hasten on. My time is gone. This joyous river brings life. It sustains life through the grace of God. It is that which feeds the church of God, brings to it every good and perfect gift. And it transports to life, to the very presence of God, the fullness of our joy. John 14, 1 through 3. Most of you can quote this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It is only through Christ that the church receives grace, that it continues in grace, and that it is transported to the presence of God, the very essence of grace. Nothing can separate them who believe in God from His love, from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a word is this to the soldiers of the cross. Because of the grace of God, because the grace of God is in the midst of His church, in the constant progression of the kingdom of God, she shall not be thwarted or diverted or stopped. God is her helper and has been from the beginning. The wild eye of alarm may look around and say, but preacher, the heathen are everywhere, in the highest offices of the land. The laws of this land are being changed. That which is established is crumbling. The Word of God says, be silent. Silence that quiet and fretting spirit. And know that the Bible, know what the Bible says about God. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. In Exodus 15, 9 through 17, we don't have time to turn there. But in the continuance of the people of Israel, in the song of Moses, Moses lifted up his voice to God before the people. And he said, who can stand before the mighty arm of God? The nations of the earth, of Palestine, of Canaan, of Moab, of Edom shall hear. They shall raise themselves up against Him, and they shall be melted. So were the enemies of God under the mighty hand of His power. Finally, we have no time to discuss, and I'll just mention it. But possibly, most importantly of all, God is presented as God. In verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And a very literal rendering of this would be still and know that God is God. He is sovereign. What He wants done is accomplished. It must be and it will be. He is the one who decides what desolations shall be made in the earth. He is the one who determines when it happens and accomplishes it. Sodom and Gomorrah, once a flourishing, powerful, seemingly secure city, now it cannot be found on the face of the earth. And God is the one who establishes peace. In verse 9, He maketh wars to cease. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. My friends, let me leave you with this thought. We are subjects of a sovereign God. And there are two kinds. Rebellious subjects, unfit for His presence, unwilling to partake of His grace, who shall be partakers of His desolations. And there are submissive subjects, children born of the grace of God, kept forever by the love and power of God. It is only the people of God who have the authority and power to be still and know that God is God. If you're here today outside of Christ, then there is an opportunity now for you to repent of your sin and join the chorus that has been rescued from the pit You can lend your voices with them today if you will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of grace and salvation, and join the people that are washed in His blood, who hide themselves in His strength and refuge. Will you come to Him today?